Hello and welcome to Super Saturdays, a comic book media podcast, where each episode we'll be focusing on your favorite comic books, TV shows, and movies to figure out if these projects will stand the test of time. I'm Damon A, and on today's episode, I'm joined by
Yasmin, again.
A returning guest. All right, well, on with the show.
Right.
Well, yes, how are you? You're a friend of the show. You've been here numerous times. So how does it feel being back?
It feels comfortable. It's feeling refreshed. I feel refreshed. I'm excited. This is great.
Okay, love to have you. Love to have you. Cue the applause. Final applause. Yep. You know, anytime you're on the show, I know it's going to be an episode where it's just like laughter all around. So,
because we, you know how we get off.
So glad to have you back.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. All right. So, Yasmin, you already know what I'm going to ask. Are you ready for the news roundup? Okay. All right. Let's go. We got a little bit of news roundup. And this week on news roundup, I've only have one thing that I'm adding on here. And this is going to be something that came out at the time of this recording yesterday. And what came out yesterday was Joker 2, the trailer with Lady Gaga's Harley Quinn, Joaquin Phoenix back again as the Joker. And it was all right. It was okay. I liked it. Yeah. It was, I'm intrigued. It also just was like, this isn't really the comic books, and I have to be, I'm trying to get myself to be okay with that.
Yeah.
So, Yaz, what was your thoughts on the trailer?
So I do love musicals, and I know it's going to be like a jukebox musical, so that's cool with me. I'm not one of those people that get like, oh, I don't like musicals, whatever. But that part is fine. Where it kind of loses me is that she's not using the Harley accent.
That's what I was thinking too.
Watching the trailer. I don't want to make assumptions, crazy assumptions, based off a 2-minute trailer, but I am. It is going to take me out of the movie if she's just talking, and I know it's, I'm going to be thinking of the name, Harley's name, above her head, like trying to keep myself in it, because it just seems like Lady Gaga. It feels like a Star is Born. I'm sorry. It feels like a Star is Born. You're trying to suspend my disbelief right now. I don't know what you want. It's just Lady Gaga. I saw someone say, it could have been just Punchline and everybody would have went with it.
But honestly, I feel like that would have been better, if I'm being quite
honest. Actually, yeah. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just Someone else said it's her only characteristic being blonde. I'm like, I don't know.
I guess that's her only characteristic. I guess.
She's not a psychiatrist. She's not using the accent. She's blonde. I guess that's it. Like, I don't know what else you want from me.
I mean, she got the diamonds. She got some of the colors. So, you know, it's fine.
We got to do something more than that. That could be anybody.
Well, you know what? No, it couldn't be, because remember when behind the scenes shit was happening when they were filming?
Someone pulled up a picture.
They pulled up a piece of, like, you know, newspaper, and it said Harleen Quinzel. So they're using her name, at least, her full name. It's something, I guess.
Something, but we're going to see in, when does it come out, October?
I think October.
We'll see in October. I'm not like mad at it. I'm still going to go see it. But I'm just like,
I think, because a lot of people liked the first one. I saw the first one later on. I wasn't really that interested to really see it. When I saw it, I was thinking, this is a great psychological thriller, but nothing about it felt like the Joker to me. Well, not a psychological thriller, but just more like, you know, it's a psychological movie. And making a sequel, I don't think was necessary, but I am intrigued. And I think if you guys are going to like incorporate Harley Quinn, which is something from the comics, and then also keep the name and maybe even a little bit of the design motifs with that character, it makes me wonder, are you guys then leaning back into more comic book-esque type of shit? Or are you just doing your own thing again? But then again, it's like, what's the point? And, you know, I'm just going to go in there intrigued. I'm just going to go in there with an open mind. And, you know, I think I might go ahead and watch Joker one more time. Because I only watched it once, and I was just like, I'll be intrigued. What I do want to see, though, I kind of wish that the Black Label movies that they're doing or trying to do or gonna possibly do, or the Elseworlds movie, I don't fucking know. I wouldn't mind seeing a Lex Luthor movie. I would not mind seeing that, like, from his perspective, kind of similar to like Brian Azzarello shit, where like in that Lex viewed Superman as like a monster with red eyes. Cool shit. I don't know. I wouldn't be against it.
I wouldn't either. I just feel like we need more movies about different characters.
Yeah.
We have to put Batman down. Sorry, do not jump. We have to put Batman down. We have to put Superman down.
Yeah.
I'm going to see that new Superman movie. I'm really excited for that. I think David Corn Sweat is so cute. But we need to put Superman down. I would say we need to put Wonder Woman down, but...
I mean, Wonder Woman... Shit, we really haven't done much.
Really.
She didn't get much. I mean, I would even argue Superman hasn't gotten much.
If you want to break it up,
she didn't even have an origin movie. She didn't even have a movie.
We got that 2009 Wonder Woman, that animated movie, and that's pretty much it. That's as good as we're gonna get so far.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you know, it'd be a shame. I would love to see a live action movie of Wonder Woman at some point.
Was somebody hopefully that's. Other than fucking Gal fucking Gadot.
Wait, that she played Wonder Woman?
Gag. Gag it. Control it. Control it. You ain't that. You ain't that.
Okay, well, you know what? Since we're on the topic of Wonder Woman. Yes, what do you love Wonder Woman? And in all honesty, I don't know if I ever really asked this, because we did do a Wonder Woman-esque episode a while ago. But if I didn't ask this, what was your first time like really getting into Wonder Woman or seeing who Wonder Woman was?
Well, as a child, I was Wonder Woman. You know what? Pause.
Oh, shit. She got up from the seat, everybody. She's walking away. I think she's about to grab a picture.
I don't have receipts, but I was Wonder Woman in kindergarten for Halloween. So I know that I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. But
okay, so you're a real one.
I'm a real one. So growing up, I know who Wonder Woman is in like back of my head, like kind of like everybody does. But I didn't really start like knowing Wonder Woman until like, unfortunately, that lady's movie. So unfortunately,
okay.
I was brought back into my fucking face with that bitch. Oops, with that. Whatever. With that bitch. We gotta move on.
So okay, what do you really like? What do you love about Wonder Woman? If that's the case,
is that she's diplomatic, and she's. Just a cool ass fucking person. She's nice. She's gracious. She's sympathetic. I feel like, I don't know. I know this has been said to death, but people think of her as like this fucking warrior that's always killing and stabbing. This bitch got a lasso. She's nice. She's using it right. She's dropping people on her neck. She's fucking at the fucking UN. She's not that bitch that y'all want her to be, as cool as it is. She's more than just a fighter. That's what I like most. her stories where she's not.
She's layered.
She's layered. Thank you. She's layered. She has more, very, very, very layers. And that's what I like the most.
Honestly, I'm kind of in the same boat as you when it comes down to Wonder Woman. When it comes to Wonder Woman, one, some of the things I love about her most is like the fact that of all of the heroes or of the DC Trinity, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, she's the one who sees the bigger picture of everything before even Superman sees it. And I think the best way to really describe it is kind of similar to my, like, the way I would like describe Superman to somebody is that, like, Wonder Woman is the one girl that, like, you know how back when you were in high school, or if you back any time in school, where you had, like, this one person that you were really, really, really cool with? You may not have fully clicked with them, but you know they had your back, and you had their back.
Right.
And, like, y'all were, like, acquaintances, but, like, you could tell them anything, and they'd give you the best advice ever.
The girl you sit next to was cool.
Exactly. And she's just full of wisdom. That's who Wonder Woman is. And I think she also is the type of person who it's more like, I don't want to fight you, but if you finna fight me, I'm gonna beat your ass. If you're gonna do it, I'm gonna beat your ass.
If you want to do it, we can do it.
Pretty like cool. I wouldn't want to. Just know I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to start this.
I don't
want to
hit you, but you make me.
Exactly. Since you don't want to talk to me and talk it out like adults, then we finna run the runs. But. That's the best way to describe Wonder Woman. I love how diplomatic she is. I love how multifaceted she is. And I also love the fact that she is an icon. She's a legend. Like, she is a feminist icon. She is more than just a character, you know, to a lot of different people. And the fact that she stands for truth, and that's one of her biggest pillars, just like how Superman's is hope and Batman's is justice, she stands for truth in all areas.
Right.
Whether that be being true to yourself, seeing the reality within things, and then also respecting other people's truth. And I think a lot of the stuff that Wonder Woman holds dear, and a lot of her key, like, points and factors, like, her character is what the world needs more of and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of why I love Wonder Woman.
Especially in, like, the times we're fucking living in. I think I really, like, grabbed onto Wonder Woman as, like, if she was real, we would have figured this the fuck out a long fucking time. Yep. It's like, I don't know. It's like she wants peace and justice and love for everyone. Some of those people don't deserve it. Some of those people don't deserve it. But she wants it for everyone, everywhere. And that's my favorite part about her. It's like she's like not only fighting for this person, that it's for all of us, not us.
Yep.
Wow. Everyone. You know what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. Like, it's like, just, I don't know. And I think another thing too is that some people claim that that's what they want, but they're primarily thinking about what benefits them the most, whereas she's able to see all sides and also understand people's experiences. Exactly. So with that said, are you ready to dive in?
Yes, I am.
All right, then let's dive in. All right. Wonder Woman the Hikateia is a modern Greek tragedy of duty and vengeance. When Wonder Woman partakes in an ancient ritual called the Hikateia, she's honor-bound to eternally protect and care for a young woman named Danielle Wellis. But when Wonder Woman learns that Danielle has killed the sex traffickers who murdered her sister, she suddenly finds herself in battle with Batman, who is searching for the fugitive. The Arrhenius, the Furies.
Yeah,
I'm just that's what they're called, Supes. They have two names, but the Furies. Proper name is I can't pronounce it, sorry. Also threaten retribution if the Hikateia is not honored. Caught in a no-win situation, Wonder Woman must choose between breaking a sacred oath and turning her back on justice. So before we share our initial thoughts, I got like a little bit of information about this. This is written by Greg Rucka. And Greg Rucka is known for me like one of the important writers for Wonder Woman within the modern age and everything. And he's just a really good writer. This was his first time ever writing for Wonder Woman, actually. And he also just was like very nervous, apparently. I saw some information about it saying that he was nervous to really like write from her perspective. And he purposely made the book more of a tragedy and more of just something that was a one shot and told from the perspective of how she's perceived instead of actually giving her full opinion on things, which is very interesting. And the art is done by J.G. Wells. And I think this might be the first time I've seen their art. Liked it a lot, though. But, yes, what was your, like, initial thoughts after reading this?
So I read this a long time ago. I had to reread it earlier today. But it was a really good fucking story. It was one of the, I think, one of the very few Wonder Woman stories I've read. And I was like, wow, this is some good-ass shit. It's very conflicting, and not in a story, but with Wonder Woman herself and how she's feeling, and with Batman and how he's feeling, and with Danielle and how she's feeling. It's very like, it's a lot going on emotion wise and in a justification sense. So yeah, I really did fucking like it a lot. And I was like, let me get the tea on Miss Woman over here. And Mr. Rucker.
No, you know, I liked this a lot because my first time reading this was like years and years ago. Like I was in middle school when I read it. And the funny part is, though, I remembered the cover. I remember she beat Batman's ass. I remember what Hikateo was, but I forgot all the middle bits and pieces, which makes me wonder, did I actually read it or did I just skim through it? I don't know. I was in middle school, but I was a kid who went to the library a lot, and that's where like a lot of my reading for comics happened. But I like reading it as an adult, it put a lot more emotion behind it, because the fact that like I was reading this and I was like kind of tearing up a little bit, I'm like, damn.
Right.
It was very moving, yeah. I would say. And, yeah, how old were you when you first read it?
Probably, how old am I right now? I was probably like 20.
Okay.
So I kind of had the perspective, but reading it 2 years later, you change a lot in 2 years. But reading it now, like today, again, it's like, damn, what would I do? Damn.
Yeah, like it's very thought-provoking.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
It's like, it made me, you know, yeah, thought-provoking. I'm like, what the fuck would I don't have any siblings. But if I did, even in a friendship, if that happened to my friends, what would I do and what would I want? Say I'm Wonder Woman. Sometimes on the weekend I am. Say I'm Wonder Woman. What in that situation? And I got a fucking, and here's fucking this big-ass nigga Batman. What the fuck would I do in this situation? And I'm fucking suffocated to this little woman on my doorsteps hanging out outside my window. What would I do? Like, what would I do? What would be the tea on that?
All I gotta say is Batman, okay.
Batman.
Batman was a bitch in this book. I'm sorry.
Batman,
like,
I can't believe that.
I like Batman. I like Batman. Actually, I got Batman books on the shelf. I enjoy Batman. I love Batman. However, Batman was a bitch in this book. And the funny part is, I was talking to Marcus Soups. Marcus is my partner. And I was like telling Marcus about this. And they even showed Marcus a couple of different panels. Mm. And the entire time, Marcus was like,
what the fuck?
Batman is an asshole. Why the fuck is he? What?
I have this and, right here.
Oh, you do?
I got it from the library. Get you a library card, y'all. I'm telling you.
Shit, that's how I'll be reading my online stuff. This episode brought to you in part by your local library.
There is a page in here where Batman comes to Wonder Woman's apartment. First of all, don't come up on her shit like that. First of all, you can knock on the front fucking door. Who the fuck are you?
Oh, yeah, he didn't even knock on the door. He came on the balcony.
He came up at her window off the balcony. Excuse the
He didn't even knock. He just was out there. The lightning striked, and then Wonder Woman looked out there. She was like, oh, it's you.
He's just sitting there. She opened the door like Batman. Huh? What the fuck? Are we not friends? Do we not work? Are we not colleagues?
Speaking of that, another thing Marcus said, Marcus was like, you know something, after I told him about what happened in the book, I wouldn't even be friends with Batman anymore after all of this. I would just be like, we're not even coworkers.
Don't call me. Don't come by my house. We're done.
I'm quitting the Justice League. Some Civil War type of shit would kind of break out.
What really got me, well, first of all, he tried to throw a fucking batarang at Danielle. First of all, don't come up in my house throwing shit. Second of all, but of course, Wonder Woman catches it like the real ass motherfucking bitch she is. She catches like Batman. Get the fuck out of here, nigga.
And then he didn't even let her explain either. Like, Wonder Woman was trying to explain, and he kept cutting her off too at her own house.
And then he says, "What killed me about this story?" He says, "Don't make me go through you, Diana." Batman. Bruce motherfucking Wayne.
If Bruce powers
Elizabeth Wayne, are you serious?
If powers weren't a thing, if Wonder Woman lost her powers, I still believe
still kicking his ass.
She would have been able to beat his
ass. And then she says, "You can't go through me, Batman." Exactly. Who are you talking to like that? That is crazy to think.
Shit, he better say that for Clark.
You better say that shit for Clark. We don't play this shit over there. We don't play this shit over there. To think, I feel like this is just a perfect example of fucking sexism and misogyny. Thinking you as Batman, I don't care who the fuck you think you fucking are, thinking you can go through Wonder Woman as this regular man with little pointy ears at the top of his head and a cape and a tool belt. Girl, you out your damn mind. You are out your...
Wait a damn minute. Tool belt? You said tool belt. Not utility belt. Pack it up, Soups. We'll see you next Saturday. This episode is over, Soups. This episode is over.
Batman walking around like Handy Manny.
Batman was caught. He was just a bitch of this story. He really was. But you know something? The weird thing is that when I was reading it, I was sitting there thinking, I was wondering, like, is this out of character? Or is this, like, coming off a little, like, you know, cartoonishly extra with Batman? And I thought about it, and I was like, I don't really think it felt cartoonish. I mean, I would say maybe slightly, like a small percentage exaggerated.
I think the "don't make me go through you, Diana" part, I think that was, like, I don't think Batman would ever say that to her. Ever.
I don't know, because this is the same man who basically told Superman that the only time you inspired hope was when you died. That shit, listen, I get it, Batman, because, like, what happened is, you probably already know about this, or Soups, if you're listening, you might know about this, but if for those who don't, I think it was an identity crisis. Batman found out that the Justice League wiped his memories of this villain doing some heinous shit on the Watchtower, so when that happened, he created Brother Eye, and he was like, you know what, screw all of y'all, it's over, it's wraps. I'm gonna see everything across the world just so you guys couldn't do this ever again. And then Superman confronted him, and Superman was saying, like, we're supposed to inspire hope or not fear or some crap like that. I could be wrong. And then Batman, there's like these three panels where it has a crosshook on his eyes. And then Batman said, let's be real, Clark. The last time you inspired hope was when you were dead. And then Superman is like,
yeah, go to gag me a bit.
Like, honestly, I feel like, and I love Batman, I think they be letting Batman slide a little too
they
much.
They let Batman do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, because if someone talked to me like that, if a friend talked to me like that, I would have to reevaluate.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'd have to reevaluate.
Ring it in. But I feel like my thing with that panel and that line, I feel like him and Superman have a deep and mutual respect for Wonder Woman that they just know, they know her, and they know her value and her purpose and her duties. I feel like they would not talk to her like that crazy, especially not Superman. I don't think he would.
Yeah, I would never see Clark saying that something like that to Wonder Woman. I feel like this whole story probably would have been done within one page, because Superman probably would have just talked to her and asked her.
Like, okay, you know.
Or he would have been like, I'll give you like a day or something like that. Like, you couldn't have even done that, Batman. Like, I give you a day or maybe a couple days.
He didn't even want to, he didn't even let her talk. That was crazy to me.
So, okay. I know that you're reading Tom King's run currently, and also you just got the Perez run recently and everything. So, when it came to reading this, like, did you like the characterization of Wonder Woman? Like, I know you already said you liked it a lot, but, like, just let's talk a little bit more about just Diana in this book.
So, especially in the Perez one, she's very conflicted in how she feels sometimes. And it's very, this is showed in this very well. There's a, we'll probably get to it later. But what was I saying? How did I feel about the characterization? I think it was kind of like perfect. It compared to the Tom King run, like if you put both of them next to each other and told me which one do you think is actually a good representation of Wonder Woman, I would 100% say Hecate. That's her. She's focused on her mission, her duties. She's firm in what she believes, but she will consider. She's always looking for different perspectives, is what I'm trying to say. So she, let me lock in. So for reading the Perez run, she, I forgot what issue it is, but it's when Hermes comes to Man's World, it's called that, and he's like just fucking shit up, just doing any old fucking thing. And she's like, I should be loyal to him because he, you know, I am who I am partially because of him. And Julia, she's like, he's, I don't know what the fuck his problem is, but you, no. And one of them was like, well, this is Hermes, but Julia's like, this isn't right what he's doing, but I'm loyal to him. And she's very conflicted in how she feels and what direction to go and how to go about things. She's not, she doesn't act, that's also one of my favorite parts of, about her. She doesn't act all like, she doesn't act off emotion heavily.
Are you saying that like basically Wonder Woman is the type of person who her emotions do come into play, however she thinks through it logically before taking action?
Thank you. Yeah.
And then like staying within what she like, she moves with her own values, but she's able to be open to other perspectives.
She knows
when
things are wrong. She knows how she feels about certain things, but she's like, okay, I see how you feel and I respect that. That's her. It's shown very well in this. I don't know about over there in this Tom King run. I have it down here, but I like it. I'm reading it, but anyways, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think?
I'm not reading Tom King run right now. And you know something? When I started this show, I wanted to make it a mission to read more of characters that I haven't been reading as much. And I've been reading a little bit more Wonder Woman, not as much as I'd like to. I want to get more into the Perez run. I'm going to get that damn omnibus. But from what I could tell within this like characterization of Wonder Woman, I was loving it. I was really digging it. And there's like a couple, like Wonder Woman is the type of character, same with like Superman. I'd even argue same with like a lot of other heroes where it's like, regardless of what adaptation it is, there's a couple of core things that has to stay regardless in order for you to be like, that is that character.
You're right.
And like this book, it kind of like, it did that. It did that times 10. Like she, like even down to the fact that like the Hecatea, I didn't realize that it was actually a real thing. Like until I Googled it and looked up, is Hecatea a thing? Yeah, no, it was in the Iliad. And you know something, Soups, I just realized we've been rambling a lot about what exactly our thoughts on it, but let's give you a little bit of like ideas of what's going on. Long story short, the Hecatea is something that happened in the Iliad, and basically a person, they ask for Hikateya from you. They like come to you at your feet begging, and you have to accept it. If you accept it, I mean, we kind of said it in the summary, but if you accept it, you have to look after the person, and this person is kind of like a servant to you, but not entirely. You can't abuse their servitude, but they also have to respect you mutually. It's kind of like a working partnership of sorts. And if either parties breaks the Hikateya without the person who asked for it to happen, they'll get ripped apart by the Furies. And the only way to end a Hikateya is if the person who asks for the Hikateya says, I release you. So that's what happens in this book. And Greg Rucka set out to do a tragedy, and this story really was a fucking tragedy. Like, I know we touched a little bit about, like, the serious nature of this story, but, like, the serious moment where we learn more about, like, what happened to Danielle and her sister and everything, that was really gripping, especially down to the way that it was the narrated and the imagery. And the art did a really good job of depicting almost every single instance of this in this book. You know, we talked about Wonder Woman, we talked about Batman. What was your thoughts on Danielle as a character?
I really did like her character. I'm usually not a fan of the side characters in these stories. That's my own gripes with things. But she really was, I feel like, very, like, important and kind of more important than Wonder Woman just a little bit in this story. And I really liked that, especially because when we first see her, she's, you know, killing somebody. And then when she initiates the Hikateya with Wonder Woman and she's eating, she's like, I haven't eaten in 2 days. She's running from Batman. It's really like you said, it's really a tragedy. It's really fucking horrible. This whole story with her it's horrible for her. This whole thing, it's not funny, but she's really a great character. We don't know much about her, but we know like kind of a lot. We don't know where she's really from. We do, but we know what she wants.
We do. Like, I gotta say, like, going back to that flashback, because the flashback is where everything, like, hits the fan, where we get, like, the whole dump of all the information of who Danielle is. And I feel like if it was in the hands of a different writer, it could have possibly just felt, like, random.
It would have went crazy.
But it would have, and it just flowed really nicely, like, on this, like, nice little path. And when we got to the flashback, even leading up to the flashback, after, because we talked about it, when Batman, like, dropped in on Wonder Woman, and was basically saying, you're holding a fugitive, and got her to confess to murdering all those men. It's the fact that happened. Danielle is crying and telling Wonder Woman, hey, I'm not lying. And you can even tell that Wonder Woman's a little annoyed over the fact that, like, damn, I wish I would have known. So now I'm in this whole quandary. Mm-hmm. However, I still respect you as a person because, you know what? It is what it is. But then you have her, like, basically, I want to say that, like, Danielle is at the point where she doesn't really, like, she agrees with what she did as the right thing, but it's also, like, kind I still kill people, road. So I feel weak.
Kind of the end of the road for her. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, no, kind of end of the road for her. And I think it's, like, this desperation, this sadness, and it's just, like, she's, like, I murdered these people. Yes, it was justice. Yes, I did the right thing in my eyes. However, I still kill people, so it's, like, that still is like a weight I have to live with. And then on all the other shit. So her having that moment of like breaking down, telling Wonder Woman, ask me, like, I'm not lying to you, I swear. And then it was revealed that when she was a little girl, she looked up to Wonder Woman. So having your hero see you as a murderer,
it would fuck
and
you
all
up.
That shit, it would really fuck you
it
up.
Would
it
fuck
would.
You the fuck up.
Like,
and her sister
man,
wanted to be like Wonder Woman too. So it's like, I can't imagine how horrible she must have felt having to be a kind of a servant, like having to submit to Wonder Woman, be like under her care, like she's obliged to take care of her. And knowing that she has killed people and the reason she's here is because she's killed people and she's on the run from Batman. I can't imagine being on the run from fucking Batman.
Listen, I'll be shit. Honestly, if I had to choose being on the run from the police or Batman, I'd choose the police because I would being on the run from Batman would be like having to crawl through broken glass. Like, you would have to, like, burn every piece of communication/technology you have. He could hack into that shit. Like, and then, like, no, you think you're safe. He fucking busts out the wall. And like, you.
Like,
he behind you.
Kruger. Like, what the fuck?
Shit. Next thing you know, he got the fucking grapple hook. Fucking scoops you up off the ground and shit. Like,
all of a sudden, you upside down.
Exactly. So, honestly, you know what? I think Danielle needs a round of applause, because how the fuck was she able to outrun him for 2 days? 2 days. Straight.
And he mad as hell.
I bet you he mad too. No. You know, maybe Batman was mad because he didn't want to have the Robins know that, like, so this little lady,
this little girl escaped.
She outran you? Like, she was able to get away from you twice?
Oh.
So she went from Gotham City. Literally, she went from Gotham City all the way to Washington, D.C. to Wonder Woman?
Now
what? Really?
Got this little girl. Got you yelling in Wonder Woman face for this little girl.
And Wonder Woman punched you off a balcony and put her foot on your head. I feel like Nightwing would have been fucking trying not to laugh.
That would have been clowning the fuck out of him.
I feel like Alfred would have been clowning him the most, though.
Because Alfred is shady. That's a shady ass bitch. Alfred is a shady ass bitch.
He really is.
Damian would be mad.
I feel like Batgirl would be laughing. And then again, you know what? I feel like Superman would laugh at Batman too.
Of course.
Yeah.
You said what to Wonder Woman? Right.
Lizard. But no, jokes aside though, like, Danielle, she needs a medal for that. But back to the other part of it though, like, having to tell your mentor, well, not really mentor, but like your hero that you did all of that shit, it's emotional. All of the emotional beats in this book really got me there. The moment where we saw all of that, where she's literally begging and pleading. And it kind of felt like she was trying to ask for Wonder Woman's forgiveness. And even when she said the line of like, I wanted to be like you, I studied Greek and all this other type of stuff, and what I did was justice. And then Wonder Woman said, yes, but 3,000 years ago. And you know something? I was thinking about that, and I was like, Wonder Woman didn't really give her opinion over what happened. And by her saying that, she didn't necessarily co-sign what she did, but it was more just like a
place of understanding.
I can see. Yeah, it's understanding. And even down to the moment where, like, she's getting ready for bed, and she's like, looks
like
uncomfortable.
Cassie, Donna, like, damn, what would I do if Cassie was...
Like, that is some real shit.
That is some real shit.
Like, dead ass. I don't know if I could sleep at night knowing that if that happened to, like, one of my siblings. I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
This is a good ass story.
Some real shit. It really is.
It's good as fuck.
What was your thoughts on the arcs? I don't think I asked that.
Her wig was sliding a bit back a little bit. The forehead was crazy. I'm sorry. The forehead was crazy. Her hairline was like back here. Damon, you saw it. The wig was back here. Damon, you saw it.
You know what? I saw a tweet of yours recently where you said you enjoy wigs that look like wigs. You know what? Maybe that's why. maybe that's why in our last episode that we was on, you wouldn't wonder why would they keep that fake ass wig. So I don't want to hear nothing about hair in this book being off.
We always talk about wigs on this.
I don't want to hear nothing. And if you listen to our episode with the DMZ comic book nerds, you know we talked about Magneto, Silk Press. There were a couple of instances where her hairline was a little off. I'll give you that. But I still liked the art a lot. I think I liked the art on the Furies. The Furies were really, like, they were drawn really good. But Batman, he was looking old.
Very old.
very old. However, the art is really good, and in all honesty, Wonder Woman the Hecate is a very thought-provoking, captivating, emotional read that I think it deserves its spot as being a classic Wonder Woman story. And I would give this to somebody. I don't know if I would say this should be your first Wonder Woman story. I don't think it should be. But if you were like, I read one Wonder Woman comic and it was her origin story, I want to read something else, this would be a good second one, I'd say, maybe.
Yeah.
So my rating is a 5 out of 5. What is your rating, guys?
Of course it does. This is a classic Wonder Woman story. It's always going to be like top 5, maybe, if you want to, if you really want to get into it. This is like a perfect story. Perfect. Through and through.
Anyway, Supes, you heard it here first. This Wonder Woman, the Hikitea, does stand the test of time. So, let us know your thoughts. Be sure to listen on Instagram with Super Saturdays Podcast, TikTok at Super Saturdays Pod, and Twitter at Super Saturday PC, where your messages and your reviews can make their way on the show. This was Super Saturdays. I'm Damon.
I'm Yasmin.
And where can the Supes find you?
You can find me at twitter.com at Yasmin's Room. Plug me in the caption, in the comments, in the thing. You know what to do.
I will. And she's also known as Negro Lois Lane.
I am the Negro Lois Lane. That is me.
As always, Supes. See you next Saturday.